Right then. Excellent. So this today is going to be the last on the current series of the church. And thanks to Mark's amazing work, they're all going to be available on the website shortly. You can actually hear them, for better or for worse. So that's great. But this is the last one. And I wanted to talk about the church in the world. Yeah, a bit of... Excellent. You know, when we talk about the church, we know this, don't we? It means us, right? It means us. And all other Christians as well. That's the church all over the world. And we're all facing challenges, aren't we? As we live in the world and as we interact with it. Do we not feel that? We do face challenges, right? So here are some issues to think about. How do we respond to people with different views about God? Where should we go or not go as Christians? Who should we be associating with or not? How should we treat people? What about politics and politicians and even the EU? What do we think about that? What about the laws of the land? And what is the church's mission in the world anyway? Okay, there are a few of the issues that face us as the church, whether we like it or not, or whether we're prepared for it or not. These things are things that we're going to come up against in our lives. So I think it is important to prepare ourselves and have a bit of a think about it, all right? So this is what we're going to do. Three things we're going to do. We're going to look at the Bible, look at God's plan for the world and his plan for us. We're going to look and see what Jesus actually did and said. And we're going to find the need to ask for wisdom and strength for ourselves in every situation. So it's going to be a quick overview. Obviously, we're not going to be totally comprehensive on all of those. So the first thing is, what is God's plan for the world and for us? See, God does have a plan. I mean, hopefully that's not news to us, is it? It's not news, is it? It's like when Jesus rode in on the donkey. The disciples, as it says later in John, they didn't understand what was happening, but only later did they realize that this was what was written about him and this is what was going to happen. God has a plan. But many people don't realize that God has a plan at all. Even if they believe in a God, they don't believe he's got a plan. We know that he created everything. And that initially, everything was good. That's what he said, wasn't it? He gave us free will to choose what to do. And that was good too. And then it all started going pear-shaped, didn't it? Or apple-shaped or whatever. It's not actually an apple in the Bible, you know. It's a fruit. Anyway, very sadly, man chose to do the one thing that God had told him not to do. Does that ever happen with the kids and those with kids? Do they ever do the one thing that he had told them not to do? Sorry, was that one? Happens with us. Happens with all of us as well. Everything we do, it's the thing. It's the thing, and we do it. God did not do it. Why not? God told us not to. And that started everything that we see now. Sin was born at that moment. So at its core, sin is disobeying God, isn't it? That's what sin is. It's living and thinking in ways that dishonor him. That's one way to think about it. Okay? In the common parlance, sin is dissing God. I tried to do sort of dissing. I can't do a street. No. Is he up to that one? Is he being relevant, Justin Welby? Excellent. Anyway, so it's dissing God. Okay? It's about not respecting him. We talk about respect. People don't respect God. That's sin. It's about going our own way, not his. So God's designed us, hasn't he? And he was kind enough to give us instructions as well. Not arbitrary ones that mean we can't enjoy anything. Did you ever get that feeling that God told us, gave us commandments and things so that we didn't enjoy life anymore, or that tells us things not to do? A lot of people think that, that God is just interested about telling us what not to do. All right?
Before we know it.
We have to use the mic, Mark. Or, well, make the three words into the mic.
Okay. Before we know him, that's the word for me. That's how I used to think. Yeah. Because we don't see. Yeah. In the darkness, it doesn't understand, does it? It's only when we step into the light that we see that these things are actually not bad at all. Yeah. They're for our benefit, and that he knows best. It's just like our parents, like you say, as kids who do what they're not told to do. Yeah. They don't understand.
Yeah.
You know.
And it's for our benefit. Absolutely right. He did it for precisely the opposite reason. His way is the way, the only way, for us to have life and to have live life to the full. Right? It is actually the only way. Okay? Let no one say anything different. It is the only way. I am the way, the truth, and the life, Jesus said, didn't he? If we ignore God, if we go against him, we'll never have peace or the real lasting joy and assurance of eternal life, will we? If we ignore God. So God saw the way the world went, and he gave mankind many opportunities to follow and worship him again, didn't he? If you think about it, over the years, Jewish people had an amazing walk with God over hundreds and thousands of years. Right? Sadly, again, they kept wandering off into sin. Something more was needed. God sent Jesus, his son, who actually was the way, the truth, and the life, to show the world his plan for reconciling us to him. God loved the world that much. Note that God didn't look down on the world and hate it. He didn't hate it. He loved it so much that he couldn't let it go. He couldn't let us go. So he sent his son to both show us that love and to do what was necessary to pay for all that sin that was our fault. Jesus was the bridge across that huge distance between a sinful world and a holy God. Only Jesus could bridge that. And we know, as part of the plan, God will eventually reconcile all things to himself again. There'll be a new heaven and a new earth. Those who trust him and put their faith in Jesus will live with him forever in the amazing fulfillment of all that is good and is right and is holy and perfect. What a destiny. That's going to happen. So God's plan is reconciliation. That's really important. It's joining together of what is apart. That's what reconciliation is. That is what he's doing right now, and he's calling us to be part of that. That's his plan. So what about Jesus then? What did Jesus do when he was walking on the earth? What did he do? He did very many things. Amongst others, he loved people. Did you notice that? Jesus loved people. He welcomed people to him. He cared for people. Now, notice that he didn't just care for nice people, did he? You know, people who he could make into a nice, stable leadership team and then develop into a solid team of supporters, you know, the nice sort of stable people that everybody liked anyway. No, not at all. Because he started with a bunch of ordinary fishermen, violent nationalists, a traitor, a tax collector and a doubter. All sorts. They all had their faults and they all failed many times, as we do. So, Jesus brought them all together. In starting the church, he started the reconciliation by reconciling people together who may well have been natural enemies and certainly weren't in the same social circles. They weren't going down the pub together, all these people, his disciples, the 12. That's for sure. Okay. They had their own characters, and they got things wrong. They had their own political, social views, but actually, in the end, they followed him, and he loved them. That's what transformed them. He sometimes had to be firm with his disciples, didn't he? He rebuked them. He taught them. He was patient. He forgave them. And he even let Judas betray him. See, the way Jesus led is absolutely fascinating, if you think about it. And I can't do anything near justice to that today, but if you read the Gospels and see how he did it, you'd be amazed at his leadership qualities. Funnily enough, he was God, of course. But he is the leader from which all leadership should be derived. He leads from the front, not driving from behind. All right? He recognizes the needs of his followers. He encourages them to step out in faith. He serves them. He teaches them. He builds them up and he doesn't tear them down. He instructs and he sends them. He equips them. He shows them how to live and to do things. And he is very much with them. That's an amazing leader, isn't it? If we've got a leader like that in any sphere, not just church, but in a company, in a business, that's who you're going to follow, isn't it? That's who's going to build something. So that's his disciples, but how does Jesus interact with the world? Did he avoid those who weren't nice and respectable people? He got right among them. In fact, he seemed to spend a lot of time in people's houses, didn't he? He was eating and drinking. I think if we walk around with Jesus, he'd just be in and out of everybody's houses, having a party and weddings. He's very keen on weddings, wasn't he? But these were people who were seen as sinners, weren't they? Sinners by everyone else, by the establishment and polite society. You know, if there ever was a place where all sorts of people gather, it would be a wedding, wouldn't it? If you think about weddings, you can have all sorts of people come to a wedding. Sometimes, well, there's usually two families, usually. Sometimes there's parts of a family that haven't seen each other for a long time, or maybe don't get on. There are friends and people who only come together for a wedding. But Jesus was dead keen on weddings, and he even provided loads of wine when it ran out. Not that it's going to run out at your wedding, of course. No. If it does, we know what to do. But you know, Jesus was right in there with all these people, with all these things going on. It's amazing, really. He wasn't afraid of crowds, Jesus. He was right in the middle of them. You know, that's another thing. Imagine that, a leader who's not afraid to just to be right in the middle of people. No airs and graces, no diplomatic protection, no bodyguards, nothing. So you get the impression, don't you, that Jesus enjoyed life and being with people. He enjoyed that. He wanted others to do the same as well. And that's our God. He wants us to enjoy life. But while he was in all amongst all this, did he ever sin? No, he never sinned, did he? But he was right in the middle of it. How did he do that? Because he was amongst people all the time that had a tendency to sin, but he didn't. He was full of something that totally overcame sin. What was that? The Holy Spirit. Totally overcame sin. He was full of the Spirit. And there were times, it wasn't that he ignored sin at all. He was very clear about it to people, but he did it in different ways. You notice that? Different people. Okay, so he didn't condemn the woman caught in adultery, for example, did he? He just said, yeah, just go away and don't do it again. I don't condemn you. That's pretty good going, isn't it? There were many times he could have condemned people, but he didn't. Many times, okay? But his most serious rebukes were actually for the Pharisees, the church leaders of the day. Ooh, boo hiss, boo hiss. And also for others who were doing things in the name of God, but they were actually hypocrites. Right? They were using people to have power over them or to make money out of them. And that never happens now, does it, in churches? No, that's not true. It does happen, unfortunately. But Jesus reserved his greatest rebukes for them. He didn't pull his punches. He wasn't afraid to speak out about these abuses, because they were abuses in the name of God, weren't they? They represented that. We're exactly what we're coming to. Excellent. People were abused and God's name was dishonored. Jesus was very cross about it. And he made that clear when he called them vipers and snakes, didn't he? Vipers and snakes. Brood of vipers. And when he overturned the trading tables in the temple, people who are lending money, people who are selling animals for sacrifices just to make money out of people coming to worship God. There wasn't any Jesus meek and mild there, was there? He wasn't meek and mild. He was outraged at this corruption. And at the heart of the matter was that they were supposed to be worshipping and obedient to God, his Father, but they were dishonouring his name. They were dishonouring his Father, and he got extremely cross about it. His Father was being dishonoured by those who should have known so much better. You know, it wasn't as if these were the tax collectors and sinners. He wasn't condemning, he was condemning the people who should know better. Hypocrisy in Jesus' book is a very, very bad thing. And it makes you think, doesn't it? All right? So, we'll turn to the great fount of all knowledge, Wikipedia. And we'll look at what hypocrisy says, shall we? Well, what's hypocrisy? It says, hypocrisy is the contrivance of a false appearance of virtue or goodness, while concealing real character or inclinations, especially with respect to religious and moral beliefs. Hence, in a general sense, dissimulation, pretense, sham. It is the practice of engaging in the same behavior or activity for which one criticizes another. We've never done that, have we? That's not true either. Okay. It makes you think. Jesus hates hypocrisy. And especially in the church. That's what we read. We've got to be so aware of that. Let's not fall into that trap. But when we do, as we all do, let's see it for what it is and repent as fast as possible. That's the only way to, it's the only thing to do, isn't it? When we seem to be putting on things on other people that we ourselves can't even get right. You know, when we're condemning people, when we're clearly not perfect. I mean, that's just hypocrisy, isn't it? You know, that's just that's not what God wants. That's not the way Jesus dealt with people at all. So, it's good stuff, but how can we be empowered to live as Jesus did? Okay, well, that same Holy Spirit that filled Jesus can fill us, can't he? Yes? He said that we can do the same things and greater things than he did. So it seems to me we just have to keep asking for more of his Spirit. We have to. Otherwise we can't do it. It's not that he's not willing or able to give his Spirit. It's that we don't receive what he's promised. If we're struggling, remember to ask for more. Are we struggling? Ask for more of the Holy Spirit.
I think we have to make room. Although God will always fill us with the Holy Spirit, we leak, don't we?
Yes.
And for me, we leak from the areas of our lives where we link into the world. Mm-hmm. And I think we need to remove things that cause us to leak so that we can be stronger through the Holy Spirit, so it's not coming and just passing through. You know, it's staying. And it gives us more strength to do the things that he calls us to do.
What's the greatest thing that grieves the Holy Spirit? It's sin, isn't it? If we continue to sin, leak into the world, if you like, then that grieves the Spirit. And and there'll be less room for the Holy Spirit to work in our lives. So, Lord, please fill me again with your Spirit. It's a sort of abandonment. It's like saying, well, actually, I can't do anything about it. Please do it. And it's a shame that sometimes we get to that point where we can't do anything about it before we ask for more of his Spirit. But sometimes we do. It just happens. But that's the answer to when we're struggling. So the Bible says we may be in this world, but we're not of it. That's what the Bible says. That means that we are different. We are different people. I know we're a bit of a motley crew, all of us. We are different in a different way from the world. Okay? What it means is we're not governed anymore by the spiritual forces of darkness that patrol this world and influence so many. It means we are not going to play into the hands of the enemy. That's what we're not going to do. We are not at the mercy of these spiritual forces of darkness. The wisdom and power that we need is what Jesus demonstrated. So he didn't condemn ordinary people who sinned. He loved them. He forgave them. He gently told them not to sin again. And that's what we should do. Now, although it's up to God to forgive people's sins, we should forgive anyone who sins against us, shouldn't we? Remember the Lord's Prayer? Sometimes we say it. But that doesn't mean ignoring sin or saying it doesn't matter. That's not forgiveness in that sense. It does matter a lot because it separates people from God. It causes problems. It brings corruption. It brings death. Sin is very important. I think we underplay it sometimes in church and outside. Sin is important. But we need to get in there. We need to get amongst people. We're not here to judge people who don't know God. I'll say that again. We are not here to judge people who don't know God. Right? Jesus didn't. Absolutely. Jesus said, on the cross, forgive them, Father, because they don't know what they do. And if he can say that when he's being killed by the Romans, that's pretty saying something, isn't it? No. We are not called to judge the servant of someone, another master, is what we're actually told as well. We're here to love them and show them Jesus. We are here to offer hope and forgiveness. So, when we are faced with opposition, hostility, blatant sinfulness, and blasphemy even, okay, remember, it's not about us. It's not up to us to defend ourselves or God with the same weapons that the world uses. In 2 Corinthians 10, Paul says this, for though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. That's good, isn't it? The Bible tells us that light overcomes darkness, all right? So where there's light, darkness retreats. It's so tempting sometimes, isn't it, to retaliate, especially on social media or just in talking to people. Do we ever do that? Are we tempted to do that? Something on Facebook, somebody posts something. Mark used to retaliate. It's easy though, isn't it? When you see something put on there that clearly is not right, it does get you. You know it's wrong. You know it's wrong. And you see, it's just so easy to retaliate. Or even when people are talking or something, they say something that gets your goat, or you know, they say something blatantly that's not what God wants. You know, we can all think of issues and things that, and I'm not talking about the EU at this point, but it could be. So we can so easily get drawn into personal attacks and comments, can't we? Personal attacks, personal comments. We must not do that, okay? We must not do that. That's the way the world fights, and it's not what we should do. Remember, Jesus came to reconcile the world to the Father, not alienate it and push it further away. Remember, that's what Jesus was here for. That's what he was doing. Bring things together, not alienate them. Of course, we need to speak about the truth to people. We need to be clear about it and what the Bible says and what Jesus taught. I'm not saying that we shouldn't at all, right? Okay, but just as he did, we should do it from the basis of love. All right, that's the basis to do it from. We are the church, and the eyes of the world are on us. Did you know that? Whether we know it or not, people are watching. Unlikely people are watching. Every little thing that happens that we do is scrutinized, whether we like it or not, whether we've gone out or not for publicity or not. Okay. Sorry? No, I wasn't going to say the pub. But we could be in the pub. The pub is an example of somewhere that Jesus would have gone. Right, so it's not an issue, is it? Anyway, gosh, well, you can put me off. Here we go. Right, well, eyes of the church are on us. Right, and it's really difficult at times not to respond in kind when attacked, right? We've all done it. But a gentle word, remember that? A gentle word can really turn away wrath, okay? Even if it doesn't, how many times should we forgive? How many times? This many times, as many as it takes. That's what it says. That's what Jesus said. We will be attacked by the world, won't we? And listen to this. It's going to get worse. Sorry. Laws are being passed which seem contrary to God's plan and will. You agree with that? This will also get worse. National leaders come into power and do not lead as God would want them to. This too will get worse. Yes? Are we seeing things like that in the world? Yes. So, what's our response? Let's not forget to pray for those in authority. We are explicitly told to do that. Leading nations and governments isn't easy, is it? But God does want nations to be led. He does not want chaos. He wants governments. He wants leadership. You know, it's not that the governments and leaders and being a prime minister is wrong. It's that he wants them to do it his way. People will make mistakes. Let's not condemn, but gently and firmly point out a better way. Okay? We can gently and firmly point out a better way without condemning and attacking. I think that's what we're being called to. I really do. And that's been on my heart. So we're in the midst of it all, but we're not of it. We're in the world, but not of it. So in view of that, let's act differently. Do you remember we're salt and light? What does that do? We flavor society. We preserve the good. We illuminate the darkness. We do those things. We do those things. That's what Jesus said. Remember, you are salt and light. Okay? We need to be in society fully to make a difference. No point in being withdrawn from it. I mean, okay, some people might be called to be a monk or whatever. I have no idea. But I think we're called to be in society. If we don't do things by entering dark and unsavory places, even the internet, where's the hope for the world? Where is the hope for the world if we don't go where Jesus went? And that's the role of the church, and the role of the church is also to make disciples. So what are disciples? Disciples are people like us, who are by no means perfect, but who have heard the call of God and have put their trust in Jesus and who follow him. That's a disciple. So, let's be reconcilers, first of all. That's God's plan, remember? To reconcile the world to him. To finish what he started right at the very beginning. He had a plan, and he's going to make it work. And he's going to make all things new. He's going to have a people who worship him and love Jesus and who are so filled by the Holy Spirit. That's his plan, and we're part of that. So, I'm just going to read a couple of scriptures and we need to sort of meditate on them. Just for a couple of minutes. Is there anything that anybody wants to add to that or make a comment? Anything they want to share?
Thanks, no, I think it's excellent, excellent points you're making. I think we should pray and every day, you know, for those in authority and those in the courts, pray for the High Court, pray for the BBC, pray for the media, pray for the newspapers, pray for our county council, you know, everybody who can influence wider society. And I really would encourage people to pray and pray by name as well, you know, pray for the political leaders of the political parties, all of them, and, you know, officers of the government. But also, we can lovingly contribute. And, you know, when we see things coming along, and we see where they're going, like, you know, extremism, disruption orders, there's a leaflet there from CARE on there, you know, we can politely, intercede with our Member of Parliament, that's our democratic right, and say, well, we don't think this is right, and we don't think it's right because of ABCD, and we can see what might happen as a result, you know. So really to encourage people as well to, you know, to be lovingly and positively and graciously, but assertively involved.
Yeah, very good.
I don't want to...
What?
I'll tell you what it is, right? I've had something on my case for a while, and I spoke to Maureen about that, this dream, and it's not actually quite like a pleasant thing. It's like a warning. But it's been on my case recently like that. I need to share that because it wasn't about me. And I haven't had another dream since. So it was like it was saying, mm-hmm. you ain't getting another one because you ain't doing what. And Maureen said to me, you need to share it because it's you know, if you're given these things, share them. You know, it's not about you, whether it's not, you know, you feel that it's not good or what, but it just felt that it's relevant to what you're talking about mm-hmm. today. And I have mentioned this to a couple of people because I just wanted to get a bit of feedback, like, and I've left it, but it's just on me. I was on this path, on this road, it was just a plain road, but in the distance to the right, I could see this shop, and it looked like a 24-hour garage. It was all lit up, and, you know, it, like, gave the impression that it had all the things that we might want, mm-hmm. and it felt like it represented the things of the world. And as I was getting closer to it, I could see that there was a sea, and it was penned off in a field, but a sea. Mm-hmm. But it felt like it had a consciousness or a purpose. It had been given a job, it was fighting in this pen. I could see it going like up and down, and like I could actually feel that it wanted to get out and do what it was there to do. And just as I'm like walking towards the shop, a man comes towards me, and he had he looked like a traveller, but not like a traveller as in gypsy traveller, but like he had a hat on, and I don't know if he had a rucksack, but he looked like that sort of thing. But he was coming towards me, and he just looked at me and he said, "No one will escape this." Yeah, and that's why I didn't want to. Yeah, but then as I felt what he said, and in my mind I said, well, "How are we going to get through?" And I felt this like a terrible like fear. This is not going to be good. And I just heard this word in my head: together. And I think what I'm trying to say is that it feels like there are things changing in the world. And I think that's what the dream is saying, but not to worry about it. But we need to come together, and that is how we will get through what's going on. You know, and I think that's something that God teaches us, that we need to stand together.
Yeah, I think I just had the sense that things are getting worse. We're getting more clear. That you know, we need to wake up to it, and we need to be alert. We need to be prepared with the right weapons, with love, being filled with the Spirit, with love, doing it together, definitely. No good being separated off. We've got to be together in it. Linda?
Just in response to something you said about it's okay to be different. It's scary being mm-hmm. different, because even from when you're small and in the playground, if you're the odd one out, mm-hmm. oh, you're not part of the gang, mm-hmm. picked on, bullied on? Anyway, bullied. Mm-hmm. But it's very scary sometimes to be different. And mm-hmm. I think it's a different mindset. You know, it's doing what God wants us to do and allowing Him to, giving our fears, I think, to God. Yeah. Right, I'm scared of this, I'm scared
yeah.
of that.
Yeah.
And Him to perfect love yeah. casts out fear.
Yeah.
And relying on Jesus and God to dissolve our fears, if yeah. you like. Because we're supposed to be just strangers and aliens in a foreign land.
Aliens in a foreign land.
We're only here for a little while. And yeah. just maybe for God to renew our minds,
yes.
completely shift our minds,
yeah.
that it is okay to be different.
Yeah, yeah, that's really good, actually, really interesting. I mean, I think in the past, maybe the church has been trying to fit in too much and just not emphasize the differenceness, okay? We're not being different for the sake of it. We are different because of what it's called us into. So that's exactly right. And the time is coming when we will be more and more different to the society around us. That doesn't mean to say we withdraw from society. It means we carry on in society. We've got to be salt and light. We've got to be in there with our eyes open, full of the Spirit, so we can resist sin ourselves, because obviously got to resist it. You can't just be that has been a danger, isn't it? You go into place and then you get subsumed. But He that is in us is greater than he is in the world. Okay.
Because we're following Jesus. Jesus, exactly. What you've been telling us today, yeah. Jesus did the exact opposite to what the religious leaders yes. of the time did. He spent his time with sinners
yes.
and
that's right,
associated.
Yes. Talked exact
to,
opposite.
Good
yeah.
grief, he talked to women, my goodness.
He even talked to women. Yeah.
Even, talked to
even
women.
On their own. Which is.
yeah. And so he was completely different yeah. to the norm, as it yeah. were, in yeah. in the society he was in. So
yeah.
it's okay. Do what Jesus did.
That's exactly right. Brilliant. I want to just meditate on a couple of scriptures which brings that out, which is excellent. It's a wake-up call for us. We'll listen to Jesus. Let's just meditate now and close our eyes. Just be quiet. And as I read it out, let's just think to ourselves and listen to God and see what he's saying and ask to be filled and changed and renewed. Transformed in our minds, actually. So in John 17, Jesus is praying to his Father for his disciples. Jesus says this to his Father, I'm coming to you now, but I say these things while I'm still in the world, so that they may have the full measure of my joy within them. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them. For they are not of the world anymore, any more than I am of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. Thank you, Jesus, for praying that for us. We echo that prayer for ourselves too, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And Paul says this in 2 Corinthians 5. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And John 3:17 says this, for God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we're praying that we may have the mind, your mind, the mind of Christ. We're praying that we'd be filled with the Spirit, Lord God. We just thank you that you're with us and that what is in us overcomes the darkness. We thank you for the hope that you've given us, Lord. We thank you for the joy set before us. We thank you for Jesus who showed us the way. Lord, as we go about in our lives, Lord, you're going to give us more opportunities to be salt and light, to be gentle and loving, but to be clear. To be different. And Lord, please open our eyes and renew our mind to those. Lord, help us to be more and more excited by what you're doing. Lord, we don't want to be out of the world, but we want to be in there for you. So thank you, Jesus, for this word to us. Thank you for opening our eyes. Help us to be alert. And thank you, Jesus, for everything you've done for us. Amen. Amen.
As I said earlier, we're just going to...